Logano's late season surge continues with a win in Richmond. Denny Hamlin is poised to grab the regular season title, and it's a big doubleheader day for Kyle Larson. All that and a lot more on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
And we welcome you to this edition of Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, along with Alexis Erickson. And Andrew Kurland is hanging out with us today. And Alexis, he is in because Brad Gilley, who usually talks to us from his tiny home in Texas, is not in Texas.
No, he was riding his motorcycle in Sturgis, South Dakota. Yep, I should know that. My husband will kill me for saying North Dakota, where he was from. But yeah, had a great weekend in the, I can't remember.
He was in Rusty Wallace's
Rusty Wallace's motorcycle ride. I did see that they raised about $850,000.
That's good.
Which is a massive amount of money, yeah.
Been following Brad. He's having a big time and lots of other people. That's a huge thing. Do you motorcycle at all, Andrew?
No, I just bicycle.
I like that.
No motor. Mine's got no motor to it.
That's good. Good for you. We're glad to have you on the show, and we're glad that Brad Gilley got away and did something really cool up in Sturgis. He has now ridden his motorcycle in 45 of the 48 contiguous states.
He got a new state.
Yeah. So he added a new one. I think he's got like Oregon, Washington, and
I think it is
Idaho.
just the upper northwest that he's missing
so
at the moment.
Go ahead and knock him out, Brad, while you're up there. Just take the long way home and make the most of it. We're thrilled that you're with us. Let's talk a little bit about Richmond. It was another Joey Logano win as he battled Chase Briscoe toward the end and came out with the victory. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, it was a fun battle. Great race car, great race team. It took everybody to make it happen, just like every other race. But when it comes down to the strategy there at the end, making sure we hit that right, also making sure we execute the pit stop right. There was a lot of pressure on the boys to do a good stop. They did a great job, and then executing the last run. I kind of thought I was going to take off from the 19 after the way the end of the run before that was going, and then all of a sudden he was kind of hanging and reeled me back in. I was like, oh, that wasn't the plan. So just trying to play the cat and mouse of saving tires for the long haul because you know you're on that, but also trying to keep that track position and not let him get too close.
So Alexis, in the game of cat and mouse, was Joey the cat just playing with Briscoe the mouse? Is that how that played out?
I don't know. Briscoe was exceptionally strong, I thought, during Saturday night's race at Richmond, so much so that it kind of shocked him, I think, because he would credit that race as being one of the worst tracks that he has. And so the fact that he led the most laps of the night and he was, pretty much in it the entire night, he would lead a bit, and then he would, through pit cycles, he would fall back, and then he would go back to the lead. So I don't know. I would say Chase Briscoe had it, and then, Joey Logano came up and took it. So I guess he was the cat.
Andrew, it felt like there were two guys that had a legitimate shot in the second half of this race and winning. And Alexis just talked about it. It was going to be either Joey Logano or Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, and Paul Wolf said after the race, our cars were pretty darn equal. They felt that their weakest spot was around the end of stage two, which is where Briscoe extended to his biggest lead of the night. But you talk about parity, and we'll talk about that later on in the show as well. But two very equal cars. And Briscoe even said it post-race, our advantage was our brakes. We were able to get into the corner way deeper than anybody else, and his brakes started to fade, and his advantage started to fade with that. And I think that's what ultimately gave Logano the advantage when it came down to getting down to the end of the race.
I just think that's kind of funny, because when you look at the issues that JGR had with brakes the week before, and then they come to Richmond and brakes are their advantage, it just shows you how quickly things can
change.
Until they weren't, but still, it just shows you how quickly things can change.
And Andrew mentioned it, so let's go ahead and go there. This race showed a little more parity than most races have this season that have been very Toyota top heavy. Not that the Toyotas weren't in the mix, Alexis, but other teams showed up a little bit.
Well, certainly the Fords. I mean, there was a time when you had Team Penske that was, you know, pretty much four cars when you count Josh Berry in the 21 in the top five there for a little while. And so the Fords were very, very strong, which I think we kind of expected them to be on this type of racetrack, especially Team Penske. But go back just a couple months ago, and we were all talking about, where are the Fords? They're nowhere to be seen on any type of track. And so they have certainly, you know, been able to build on their equipment and get to a place where we expect them to be on a track like Richmond. Then you had, you know, the Toyotas, Chase Briscoe. We just talked about how strong that he was. There was a time where we thought that Hendrick cars were going to have a really bad day, but they ended up finishing all four of their cars in the top 10. So you had Fords and Chevys and Toyotas all represented very well throughout the top 10 of the race.
So, Andrew, what do we make out of this? Four Gibbs cars were in the top 15. Three of them got into the top 10. Alexis talked about something that's not happened in a long time. All the Hendrick cars were in the top 10. Penske had two of the top three and three in the top 10. If you credit Josh Berry, yeah, who lately has found his pulse, so good for him. What do you make of this? Is this an anomaly just to the race at Richmond, or are we seeing some of the other manufacturers maybe catch the Toyotas a bit?
I think it's a little bit of both. I would like a bigger sample size than just Richmond, but it's also showing me that all these teams are recognizing the season that we're about to enter, which is the Chase. We've got two races now, excluding Richmond, until we start this 10-race Chase. And so I think everyone's pushing to make gains. I know the Team Penske side have done a lot of work on their intermediate and super speedway packages to try and improve themselves there. They've been great on the short tracks all season long, but a rising tide raises all ships, and I think people are pulling the best of what they know that they can bring at Richmond to try to deliver a good product.
Alexis, we talked a lot about the slump that Hendrick has been in, so let's give them their flowers. Four inside the top 10. Is there anybody from the HMS camp that you realistically think can make a run at a 2025 championship? 26, excuse me.
25, yes, I do. I do think there's somebody that can make a run at the 25 championship. You know, that's a very tough question to ask because you
Oh, it's not tough to ask
well,
at all.
Well, it's tough to answer, certainly.
It's pretty easy.
It's easy to ask.
Tough to answer, I think. We'll see what Andrew has to say about this in a minute, but I think it's tough to answer because when you're looking at the data specifically from this year, you have some moments where you see them shining. Chase Elliott has two wins. You see that, and you're like, okay, well, they've been to victory lane. But then you have other drivers in the camp who haven't even really sniffed victory lane. So when you look at the caliber of driver that you're going to need to have and the consistency, I believe, that you're going to need to have to compete with a Denny Hamlin who is consistent week in and week out and is already at the top of the board and is going to start this chase with a boatload of extra points, it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, for anybody in that HMS camp. But potentially, if I had to pick somebody, I would probably say Chase Elliott, just because he is the one that has the wins on the season. But I think even that might be a long shot.
Andrew, it looks like Hendrick will have three cars in the chase. Alex Bowman, the lone wolf that's out, and he had to miss four races because of the vertigo problem. Anyone in that group that you give any credence at all being a title contender?
I'm ready to rule out William Byron. I'll say that. 12th, he hasn't done anything. I mean, this is a guy that you look at as one of the more talented next-gen racers. Where the heck has he been? So now you got to look at the other two drivers. I like the concept of Chase Elliott. If he can put it together, making a run, he's got to win at Martinsville, which we will revisit in the chase. Obviously, Texas won't be in the chase. He finished fourth at Talladega, eighth at Kansas, second in Las Vegas. So he's got good results at the tracks that they're going to be returning to next year. He's sixth in points. Can he make up and possibly get to fifth? It's going to be interesting to see. He's obviously locked into this thing, but I'm not willing to rule out Chase Elliott quite yet because Logano's behind him, and I don't think you can rule Logano out for the title, and he's behind Chase Elliott in the points.
They popped up a nice graphic yesterday on USA Sports that showed the top seven are all locked in. That's Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Ty Gibbs, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, Chase Elliott and C. Bell know that they are going to be a part of the chase. Time now for our Toyota breakdown of the most recent race, and this is brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Results from Richmond in the Cookout 400. Chase Briscoe was second. Denny Hamlin fourth. C. Bell was seventh. 11th went to Tyler Reddick. Ty Gibbs, last week's winner, was 15th. Bubba finished 20th. John Hunter Nemechek, 22nd. Riley Herbst, 24th. And Eric Jones finished 27th. And that is our Toyota Performance Report. We are going to talk about the surge of Joey Logano. Is it real or is it a mirage in the desert? We'll do that next.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
How did Christopher Bell become Christopher Bell? It started as a fire within, a drive to be better, faster, sharper. Toyota saw that fire, kindled it, gave it resources to grow. Hours in the simulator, weeks working with Toyota engineers, years of rigorous training. It didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't happen alone. But that fire now forges a legacy. That's how you inspire the next generation of racing. That's how Christopher Bell became Christopher Bell. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
His fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Appreciate you being with us here on Fast Talk. Doug Rice, Andrew Kerlin, Alexis Erickson. Looking back over our shoulder at the race that was the Cookout 400 at Richmond International Raceway. Won by Joey Logano by less than a second over Chase Briscoe, but you got the feeling toward the end of the race there was no way Briscoe was going to get around him. And Joey scored his second win of the year. Both of them have been on short tracks. He had a very convincing win at North Wilkesboro earlier. Right now, Joey is 1 point behind Larson for eighth. He's moved up to ninth. He jumped four spots. He has moved up from 20th after Sonoma to now in this position.
I saw that stat. That's so crazy to think about the summer run that he's been on.
Which for those listening is only six races.
Yeah.
Sonoma until that's six races, which is not a lot.
Yeah,
what do you think about it?
And Joey said after the race, we had a mentality shift of can we make the chase to can we win the chase? And that happened in a span of 6 weeks, which is that's a pretty drastic change of mentality, I feel like, for a race team.
Well, we've seen this twice this year. Joey Logano's surge. You had an equally impressive run by Denny Hamlin, but Denny was always in the mix. The things can turn around. Look at where we're talking about Tyler Reddick after the first 12 races of the season.
Yeah.
Andrew, he looked 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah, he did. And that's the thing of people of reference. Can you go on a Tony Stewart 2011 type of run and win this thing from anywhere? And Brad Gilley talked about it on the show last week of, You can be first or you can be 16th with a shot, with a chance at winning the title. With Logano, I feel like I have ruled him out before in even-numbered years, and he's gone on to win the championship. So can you rule him out when he's hot? Absolutely not, because anything can happen. But I want to pull the reins back a little bit on Joey's going to be the champion, and this is going to be
it all. You're not even invoking even-year religion?
Hey, even-year religion has said that Joey's made it to the championship four. Now, what does that mean for the chase? Can he put on a run late, finish top four in the points? Maybe. But they even acknowledged post-race last night after Richmond that they're working on their intermediate program still, and there's still a lot of work to be gained. They knew going into this six-race run that they were going to be good, and they had to capitalize on the most of it. To me, I think they're fulfilling the expectations they set for themselves. But in terms of talking about him being a champion, I think that's still going to be decided on the mile and a half racetracks.
I think the X factor here is Denny Hamlin. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at what he's done this season, you talk about the Tyler Reddicks who had really good out-of-the-gate performance and then have, you know, kind of fallen like a rock. And then you talk about Joey Logano's who didn't have so great of a performance at the beginning of the season and now they're turning up the wick. I look at Denny Hamlin as somebody who's had a pretty consistent performance since, you know, we went to Daytona in February and where we are right now. So in order to be able to, you know, put on a run and make it to the championship and make it to the to where you're hoisting the trophy, it's going to have to go through Denny Hamlin. And look, I get it. I know there's so many people out there that are going to say, yeah, but Denny Hamlin's never won a championship and crazy things always happen to him and blah, 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 blah. I get that. I understand that. But I just feel like when you look at the data we have in front of us for this particular season, not anything that's happened in the past, but this particular season, he is going to be who you have to go through to get the championship.
I'm going to look at Darlington as the real litmus test as to what does Joey Logano have. And they acknowledged it in the press conference last night. Darlington earlier this year was a low point for the 22 team. They finished 33rd. So now you've got some time. You've been building up what you think are improvements in your mile and a half program. Obviously, the chase is starting at Darlington, and you're going to want to bring your A game to that. That's going to be, to me, the real test as to is Joey Logano here to play, because that was their worst race, I think, on paper outside of Talladegas and things that they had happened to them that were either accidents or mechanical or whatever. That, to me, is going to be the biggest litmus test as to whether Joey Logano and that 22 team are actually here to play.
Joey Logano right now, 1 point behind Kyle Larson. That's to get eight. Catching Christopher Bell, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's going to need a lot.
He would need 36 points just to catch him, and that means Bell's got to come back to it.
We've got Daytona and a new rules package there, and there's a lot unknown that always comes with Daytona. I'll flip it again. I'll do devil's advocate. Joey did acknowledge that their big disadvantage this year has been lack of practice. And that practice time is going to double for all of the teams starting this weekend at New Hampshire. Will that play a role into it? I mean, we saw that hurt certain drivers when we went away with it in COVID. All of a sudden, guys like Kyle Busch and other teams that were really able to dial their cars in and make wholesale adjustments during practice were nowhere to be seen. Can that be an advantage for Joey Logano moving forward with some more practice time and more ability to tinker on that race car? I don't know.
Our crack research department broke down a couple of average finishes coming up at New Hampshire, Joey Logano being among them. He has averaged a 14.4 finish. Decent.
Yeah.
With a couple of wins there. Blaney, 13.5. Ty Gibbs, who I'm putting in the mix here because he's third in points, 26th. Not his best playground. Of course, Denny Hamlin had something to do with one of those finishes.
How many starts are you looking at for Joey Logano? How many starts are you looking at for Ryan Blaney? And then how many
for
starts?
For Logano, probably 27.
A lot. Yeah. So there's
a lot
of data there for them and maybe not so much for Ty. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know that we look at that as being one of Ty's strongest racetracks. What about Denny Hamlin?
Well, Denny Hamlin's pretty good there. I don't have his average finish at New Hampshire.
I'm not sure. He finished 12th there last year. Yeah.
I know that he's won there because when I think of New Hampshire, I always think of the picture of Denny Hamlin in Victory Lane because he is, you know, supposedly he's talked about it, afraid of lobster. And they're presenting him with this giant lobster and he's got this look on his face like, oh, please no. So I know he has a win there.
This is going to be a Penske weekend.
I think
again,
so.
Yeah. I think. Last year, Blaney and Logano both were up there in the lap leader column. Logano led 147, finished fourth. Blaney won it by leading 116 laps. So, and Cindric was also up there in the mix as well.
I'm just getting ready to say there's a third Penske driver that we've not talked about. We'll chat about him and some other folks on the move next.
NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Race fans, November 4th through the 7th, Dirt Racing's most celebrated stars will shine in an electrifying spectacle. The World of Outlaws World Finals at the Dirt Track at Charlotte. It's four huge days of racing and entertainment. Visit alldirtroads.com for tickets and more information. All Dirt Roads lead to Charlotte as the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, Late Models, and Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds collide. Be there!
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Pagan.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three.
Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
You know, I know the networks put a lot of time and energy into their commercials, and it works because it seeps into your brain. All I can see now is Denny Hamlin talking to his race car.
Oh, man.
The progressive ad.
Yeah. It's every other commercial, it feels like. YouTube knows I'm a race fan now because that's all I'm fed. Hey, I am...
The algorithm knows.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy that we're advertising and we're in the mainstream, but it's... I think it's... I'm like you. It's seeping into my subconscious, and I don't know how to feel about it.
I don't know it. Well, it's better, though, than what my YouTube feeds me, and there's zero reason that does that. Every other commercial is for Blue Chew Gold.
Bless.
My grandson's saying, Daddy, Pop, do you want some... No, I'm good. But it just
phone's listening to you. That's what's happening.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on there. Okay, can we cut that segment? Anyway, let's talk about teams that are kind of maybe there but not there. Let's go below the cut line right now. And Priest is minus 50. Ross Chastain, who showed a little something at Richmond, is minus 63. Brad Kay is minus 78. I'm going to start with you, Andrew, and see what are you thinking? Are any of these people a really healthy candidate to, in two races, get above the cut line?
To me, Ryan Preece is the best of the outsiders looking in. And Going to New Hampshire, I feel like that's a racetrack. You think of Ryan Preece as being an underdog type of guy to go into it. If he can keep all four Goodyears on the ground at Daytona, too, who knows what his potential is there, because he's turned into an astronaut more times than not at Daytona. But that, to me, is the biggest thing. Chastain and Brad Keselowski, the Erik Jones camps, have been sliding in all sorts of directions. Ross, I actually think, is on the way up. He was in the mid-20s not too long ago in the points. Brad Keselowski, you talk about good summers, bad summers. He has had a bad stretch. I mean, I remember talking about this guy being 7th, 8th, 9th in points, and now he's sitting 19th with not really a legitimate chance in breaking in. That's my opinion.
Alexis, what do you think? Priest, Chastain, Keselowski?
Yeah, I mean, I think mathematically.
Is hope the only plan here?
Yeah, I think so, which is not really a plan. You know, Austin Cindric having a really good race in Richmond kind of blew this all up, because he got lots of stage points. You know, he finished the race in really good position, so he gained a lot of points, and he vaulted himself up above Shane, or Shane fell below him, and now he's 57 up, and that kind of drew the gap a little bit. I think Ryan Preece is the only one that could potentially do it, and even that, I think, is a long shot. And I think if he is separated from the top 16 by anything less than 25 points, he's going to really wish that that penalty earlier this season hadn't happened.
And I think that gap for Austin Cindric only gets bigger after New Hampshire.
I think so, too.
Again, as we said, it's a Penske racetrack. Organizationally, they ran well there last year. This is going to be, when we get to Daytona, there's going to be two drivers we're going to be talking about. It's going to be Shane Van Gisbergen and Ryan Preece.
And look, when you talk about Penske as well and Austin Cindric, I mean, look, Austin Cindric is a Daytona 500 winner. Yeah. He knows how to win on those super speedways. And look, they don't always, the Penske cars don't always finish well, but they race really well, which means they have the opportunity.
And they race together well.
And they race together well. And so they have the opportunity of getting, I think the stage points is really going to be the factor here. You know what I mean? How well can you run the stages? How well can you you know, figure out how to maximize your points day?
And Shane Van Gisbergen being so much better now on these kind of short track oval racetracks. Finished great at North Wilkesboro. Had a solid run last night. Finished 14th, which, hey, for SVG standards, if you were to tell SVG at the beginning of the year or even last year that he'd finished 14th, at a tough racetrack like Richmond, I bet you he'd take it. I'm curious to see how that team can possibly improve their running at New Hampshire. And again, if he can propel that, I think the number's 76. If he can gain, 26 more points on Ryan Preece, we may not even be talking about any sort of cut line going into Daytona. Big ask, though. I mean,
the fact that we're even talking about him right now, I think, is a pretty big deal, because I know we all thought, okay, yes, you know, with this new format, he is going to get wins. He's going to win on road courses, but he's not going to be able to sustain at the other type of racetracks to be able to stay within that, you know, place that he needs to. And he's been able to do that. And with two races left and a 50-point cushion, I think that's more than we expected out of that team.
That'd be a huge win.
Yeah.
And for that race team, I remember talking to Shane Van Gisbergen at the beginning of the season. Hey, what do you think of the new chase format? Well, you know, obviously it's great because it crowns a more authentic champion. And I'm paraphrasing as SVG here, but he said, but we really benefited from the win and you're in.
Yeah.
So to make it in the top 16 would be great. And I also want to say this, not to switch gears, but we're talking about Joey Logano. And if Logano can go on a run and win his fourth championship in the chase, I don't think the haters have any more ground to stand on.
Well,
I mean,
they'll still try, though.
Yeah, they'll still try.
But
if Logano can win in this format, I think your entire argument for Joey Logano hate is over. It would be one of the most impressive, to me, runs that I've seen watching this sport.
So the thing about Joey Logano is that it doesn't matter what the format is.
He doesn't care.
You tell him what you need to do, what the format is, what the rules are, and he figures out a way within that set of parameters to get the job done. And he's done it consistently.
Yeah. He said it Saturday night, though. I've got a chip on my shoulder. That's a three-time champion with a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's because he knows, he hears what people are saying about his legitimacy of the three titles. He believes in his heart of hearts that he's a legitimate three-time champion. I think we should celebrate him as such, but he's still going into this chase angry, and I don't know if you necessarily want to poke the bear in that regard.
All right, be as honest as you want to be here. Where does all this hate that such a big spectrum of the fandom comes from? Because I've had the opportunity in my career to be around Joey a lot. I haven't seen it, but you talk to other people and even mention his name and they bristle. Where does that come from?
I think in a lot of regards, he can change his personality when he puts the helmet on and takes it off. I think that's where a lot of that can stem from. To me, I remember Matt Kenseth versus Joey Logano. Logano didn't need to win that race at Kansas, spun Matt Kenseth, who did need to win, and then that created that rivalry. Everyone was pulling for Matt Kenseth, especially when Kenseth wrecked Logano. And I think the way he's won his championships, too, have been tough for people to swallow. Like, he won it the Big Three and Me year when it was Truex, Kyle Busch, and Harvick running the show, and he ended up winning the championship. Same with the year that he was eliminated and then got brought back into it. And I think that's hard for people to swallow and accept in terms of that. So that's my opinion. I think Joey's a great guy, and I think he's a tremendous racer and a great human being.
I mean, I think there's merit to that. You know, what you're saying, certainly, I think part of it is the way that he was introduced to this sport. I think he was brought in with so much hype. He was given that sliced bread moniker. He clashed with, at the time, some of the biggest stars of the sport who already had well-established fan bases. And so here you have this kid that everybody's talking about. And they're saying he's the next best thing. And then he comes in and starts, you know, clashing with your favorite driver, whether that's Kenseth or Harvick or whoever it was at the time. And so I think a lot of that stemmed from that. And I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, potentially his attitude of like, I'm not here to make friends. You know what I mean? I'm not here to be hunky dory with everybody in the garage. I'm here to win races and to win championships. And that's proven pretty good for him.
I think you're both right on both counts. I think the way that he won some championships rubbed people the wrong way. And from day one, before he ever got into a car, Mark Martin hung that sliced bread label on him. And it stuck. And people resented that. They felt silver spooned or whatever. They really hung on to that. And it just feels undeserved. I just seen what other drivers have done to maybe earn that. I don't get that for Joey. And I'm not going over to Joey's house for a barbecue anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think there was a sense of entitlement there in the beginning, too. I think, you know, his dad was causing lots of headlines at racetracks, you know, in the beginning of his career that were making headlines and people weren't really loving that. But I feel like over the years, we've really come to find him to be one of the best race car drivers we've seen in this era, certainly. And you're right, he is a great human being. I mean, I can talk about all the drivers that I've had the privilege to interview, and he has always been gracious. He has always been kind. So, you know, I don't know. There's probably lots of factors that are involved that came together to give him this persona and this fan, reaction, but some of it may be warranted, some of it maybe not.
While we're being all warm and fuzzy, coming up next, has the hurricane turned into a low-pressure system?
Have you filed for disability benefits but were denied by the Social Security Administration? Or do you need to apply and are overwhelmed with paperwork? Are you between the ages of 50 and 63 and can no longer work because of an illness or injury? Thousands of hardworking Americans are in your situation. They file for disability benefits and are unnecessarily denied their much-needed benefit check. Call now for a no-obligation, free evaluation. We can help you nearly double your chances of approval and get your benefit checks faster. We understand the physical, emotional, and financial impact. We'll share our insider expertise and help you get your disability claim filed and paid immediately. There is a time limit to apply, so call right now,
Operators are standing by to help you.
800-978-3903. 800-978-3903. 800-978-3903. That's 800-978-3903.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Thanks a lot for being a part of Fast Talk. Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson and Andrew Curlin. And we teased this going out of the break last time. Carson Hocevar dropped three spots in the standings after a disastrous run at Richmond. And Alexis, it looked like it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, I mean, from what we saw and what we were able to hear, I think he mismanaged his gear shifting and just happened to blow the engine, unfortunately. You know, I'm sure that happens more time than we realize that it does. But when it happens in the middle of the race, you know, in prime time, it's probably a little hard for him to swallow.
He said, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "I messed up."
Yeah.
And that's as simple as it gets. It's a mistake. It's not the first time that we've seen someone go the opposite direction shifting. I know the next gen shifting pattern is different as well. I don't know if that makes it easier or harder than it was before. I'm not a race car driver. I haven't been in the cockpit of those race cars, but it's not the last time I think we're going to see that happen. It's a mistake that I'm sure 10 times out of 10 he wishes he could have replayed it, especially with the points implications of losing all those spots in the standings. I know that's what stings the most.
Alexis, what is Carson Hocevar's longtime viability? He's made a big splash. He's very popular. He does the most spectacular post-race victory celebration in his car at Talladega that we've seen in decades. But what's the long-term forecast?
Well, that's an interesting question because we know that he's going to be at Spire for quite some time. He signed a long-term contract to stay with that race team. He has gained tons of fans by a little bit of his Joey Logano-esque I don't care attitude. And, you know, I think that he's somebody that we can look to for probably success for years to come if he can figure out how to get back to victory lane and if he can figure out how to have the maturity in the car and out of the car a little bit to where he minimizes some of the mistakes that he makes. And I don't necessarily mean the mistake he made yesterday or Saturday night in the race at Richmond. It was clearly a mistake, a catastrophic mistake he wishes he didn't make. But look, everybody makes mistakes. I just mean when you're racing somebody super hard that you don't maybe need to be racing that hard, or you hit bumpers with somebody that you don't need to be doing that with at that particular time in the race. Those types of things that it takes a little bit of maturity to understand where you're at that time. I think he gets that majority. I think he continues to get good finishes and get to victory lane. I think he could be somebody that could have a very long career in this sport.
To me, I think Spire is the biggest thing that needs to improve. They're hit or miss on tracks. And when they hit, my goodness, they're there and they make a point and you know they're there. And when they miss, You forget Carson Hocevar and all those drivers are in the race. I was a nice example of that. I couldn't tell you where they finished, but I could tell you it wasn't good for that whole organization. To me, I think if you want to talk long term, that race team, which is improving, by the way.
They
I want
are.
To say
they're
that.
On the upward trend.
They're absolutely on an upward trend. They're still not there necessarily to be champion contenders, in my opinion. And that's my biggest thing is when you see Spire struggles as an organization, there's no outliers when you talk about that. When they struggle, all of them struggle. And that's where I think Carson, I think that's his biggest deficit is he can't necessarily outdrive the equipment when the equipment's not performing organizationally wide.
I look at this and I feel like this has all been done before. To me, this feels so much like the heat that Ross Chastain caught for sometimes driving over his head. And everybody piled on. Rick Hendrick goes to Chevrolet and says, see what this guy's doing. He's messing up our game. And now, one, Ross's cars aren't fast enough to get up there and run, but we don't hear that conversation anymore. I am hoping in within maybe three seasons, we don't hear the kind of conversations that he is the Hurricane.
Well, it's that maturity.
Yeah.
You're hoping that tames down a little
bit? I don't want to lose the essence of who he is, but
add a little bit of art to it.
Well said.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, entertainment-wise, I was so disappointed when Ross Chastain stopped being the Ross Chastain that we knew. If he's the Hurricane, if the Hurricane's blowing hurricane force winds for the next 10 years, man, I'm all for it. I mean, Kyle Busch was unapologetic. Now, he added the art form to it over the years. I don't know. If Hocevar continues to drive this way, I don't want him to slow down. I don't want him to let off the gas.
Look, for me, I think, and we all know this, it's how successful can you be? How many times can you be in the conversation? How many times can you get to victory lane? Even if you're not necessarily for a stretch of time a championship contender, if you can still get wins.
That's in between, what this all lies on.
Exactly. If you can still do that, then I think you still stay relevant in the conversation. And so, you know, we'll just have time will tell. We'll have to see what they can do. We'll have to see what he can do, what Spire can do. But if they can figure it out, how to get wins and how to stay in the conversation, then I think he can be in this game for a long time.
That's key. Because if he doesn't win, then he's just that annoying little pest.
Yeah.
And you have no merit or anything to stand on. And Kyle Busch, I remember this was a great episode. Kyle and Denny got together on Denny's podcast, and Kyle was saying, like, I love playing the villain, but now I can't really be the villain because I'm not winning. I'm not making people mad because I'm winning. And so, like what Alexis said, this all stands on the fact that if he can win, and I hope he can continue to be victorious, and if he can continue to do that, man, I want him to talk all the smack in the world.
I think he's good for the game. It's obvious that he is the most popular driver among the new generation right now, and people have embraced him. And I like to play a lot of mobile games, and a character will come along in a game, and they'll introduce it, and it'll be the best thing ever, and you can beat everybody with it if you just put this character in the game. And then the game makers will go, oh, That player's too good, and they'll do what they call nerf it. They'll cut it down, and it's never as effective as it was. I don't want Hocevar to be nerfed, but I'd like to see a little more judgment. Yes.
Finesse.
Andrew used art. I'd like to see that. I don't want to see him fundamentally change.
No, certainly not.
Here's what I want, and get your popcorn ready for next year. Is when Corey Heim and Carson Hocevar are racing each other for hopefully many wins in the Cup Series because they do not like each other. They are outwardly saying they do not like each other. I think you bring some enemies of Carson into the Cup Series like we are doing next year with Corey Heim. That's going to be a great thing.
And so it'll be interesting to me to see where Corey Heim, once he's a Cup Series
Nets
driver,
out.
Lands in
like
in,
a week by week basis.
Well, no, and not necessarily in his, what he does on the racetrack, but where he lands in the hearts and minds of fans.
Oh,
because if you have fans that love Carson Hocevar and there's this big rivalry, does then Corey Heim get the black hat? You know, how does that, how is that going to work out? He drives for Denny Hamlin.
There can't be two black hats.
Who isn't necessarily, you know, beloved by, you know, the masses. So it'll just be interesting to see where Corey lands.
I hope they square off in the hearts and minds of fans.
Yeah.
Everybody, Brad Gilley's a big advocate of that. You need rivalries in this.
Yeah, game. For sure.
You need people that don't like each other.
Absolutely.
Now, and to, I know if Brad were on the show right now, he's like, well, there's a difference between a rivalry and a feud. Rivalry is something on the racetrack, a feud is something off. I don't know
where the lines are with
Heim and Hocevar. I think they don't like each other off the racetrack, too.
I'm good with that.
Which I'm fine with that. Yeah.
I mean, fine with that.
Bring it on.
Not everybody needs to hang out.
No.
In the camping lot together.
It adds a little spice. You know what I mean?
Certainly does. We'll talk about Corey Heim and the fact that he's not going to be the 2027 Rookie of the Year.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
You come to Bristol for the race. You stay for this. You remember this. It's Bristol, baby. It's Bristol, baby. Because what you came for is never just what you get. It's more. It's always more. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol, September 19th. Get your tickets today at bristolmotorspeedway.com.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice of PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk. We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes, and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning, and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN. Fast Talk, taking a look at the points post-Richmond. Got to go a long way down here. 34th is Connor Zillich. But at the end of 36 races this year, Connor Zillich will be awarded the Rookie of the Year. Partly, we knew this when the season started.
We congratulated him in preseason production days.
Yes, he was here for an NMPA event.
Running unattested.
And he already had it.
Yeah.
We knew that, which takes a lot out of it. And, you know, good for him. He's going to get that. Corey Heim, it appears, Andrew, will not have that same opportunity to pick up a Roy.
Yeah, and R-O-T-Y.
Roy.
And our very own Alan Cavana was the one to point this out. He sent a tweet out earlier in the week, said, on Hauler Talk, Corey Heim will not be eligible for Rookie of the Year next season. The limit is 12 starts. Heim is at 15, and he's not eligible for this season because he didn't sign up for Cup Series Rookie of the Year this season, which is ironic because Zillich just passed him in the points, in the owner's points. So Corey Heim actually was leading what would have been the Rookie of the Year standings had he declared it for this year to me, I don't like this whatsoever. I mean, what are we doing here? Why can't Corey Heim be our Rookie of the Year candidate for next year? He didn't declare for points this year. And if you look at years past, there have been drivers who have run over 12 races who have been able to run for Rookie of the Year the next season. Got some examples right here. Ryan Blaney ran 18 cup races before his rookie year in 2016. Ty Gibbs ran 15 in 2022, was eligible for the 2023 Rookie of the Year. I want to know, when did this change, I guess? And why can't we just keep consistent on this rule? Well, that's my biggest gripe with it.
Why we can't have nice things. Because, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, okay, so then is the only person that's eligible
Jesse
next year
Love.
Will be Jesse Love.
I know,
so let's just
right.
congratulate him at production days too. Why not give the opportunity for this to actually mean something and there to be a battle throughout the season? Like, what is this arbitrary number that apparently was just...
I don't know when it was decided.
I don't either.
Denny was surprised. Denny had no knowledge that Corey Heim was not going to be eligible until after the fact. And I'm kind of curious. I think it would be a real sporting move if at the end of the year, Zelich wins the trophy and then just walks it over and gives it to Corey Heim.
I mean, you got to think that Zelich taking that trophy from whoever presents it to him has got to do it like a little bit apprehensively.
I would just say, let's don't make a public ceremony.
Right, can we just not do
just
that?
Just send it in an Amazon package and let me pick it up. And I'm not piling on Connor.
No, I'm
not it at all.
He's had a terrible, terrible season that nobody would wish on anybody. But, I mean, when you think about it, it's almost comical.
It's the Roush number 60 year for Connor Zelich. That's how I compare his go about it. Remember that one year where it was Ty Majeski, Chase Briscoe, and Ryan Preece in the 60 car in the second tier series, and they just wrecked every single race. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is crazy. I don't understand it. And it would be nice if they would have mentioned this maybe at the beginning of the year before he had decided how many Cup Series starts he was going to have, like after the fact.
You think that would have influenced his schedule this year?
Potentially, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
know. He could have easily laid out a few races.
But it would have been nice to know before instead of after the fact.
Heim, someone talked to Corey Heim after the race. Eddie Colleague, I think I'm pronouncing his name correct or incorrect, I'm not sure. But Corey said basically you're losing value to the award.
You are. 1,000%.
Unfortunately.
It means nothing if it's already done before you've turned the first lap.
Yeah.
In my mind, it means nothing.
Aren't we here for competition? If there's only one person.
And he didn't declare for points.
Yeah.
If he declared for points, then I think it'd be a different story. But he's not declared for points anywhere.
Right.
I'm curious to see what Heim's path is next year. There could be a little bit of a lightning in a bottle here. That this year was just this incredible time. That this young guy went out and won San Diego and backs it up with a Brickyard 400. Which all of us are just lemmings. We're going to jump off the cliff and follow the story. Look, it's the greatest driver of all time. And there may be a realization that this is not as easy as he's made it look.
I think that's going to be the case. I think you pump the brakes a little bit on Corey Heim just because, unlike the rest of the drivers that he's competing against, they pick and choose their schedule. They spend all their time in the sim focusing on the next race, which is 2 or 3 weeks away from the next one and the next one. And Booty Barker even admitted it after San Diego. He's like, this is our advantage is we're not running every race. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve and wake-up process when Heim has to do this every single weekend. Can he win a race next year? Certainly. I think it's going to come harder, though, than it is for him this year.
So I've said on the show multiple times, rookie things happen to rookie drivers. But hey, he's not going to be a rookie driver, right?
Yeah, so he already got it done with. Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe he'll have a great year.
He could have all that behind him now.
He could. Thanks, NASCAR.
So he's not going to put the yellow stripes on the back or none of it?
No, they did away with that because that hurts people's feelings.
They did do away with it.
Yeah, they did get rid of that.
They crushed them.
Yep.
It hurt people's feelings. That's what did it?
Yeah, it did. I think so. Very much a whole touchy-feely type situation there. But I'll be curious. I'm just curious to see what he can do. I will give props, though, that they have done this as the, you used the word earlier, the outlier team at 23-11.
Mm-hmm.
That means you get the fourth pick of the litter for your pit crew and everybody else, and they've gone out and won these two races. So
it is impressive.
Good on him and good on Denny for building a heck of a bench. We'll come back and put a bow on this right after this.
How did Christopher Bell become Christopher Bell? It started as a fire within, a drive to be better, faster, sharper. Toyota saw that fire, kindled it, gave it resources to grow. Hours in the simulator, weeks working with Toyota engineers, years of rigorous training. It didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't happen alone. But that fire now forges a legacy. That's how you inspire the next generation of racing. That's how Christopher Bell became Christopher Bell. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
It is Fast Talk. Been a fun show here, as we told you. Brad Gilley off to South Dakota to enjoy the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally and part of the Rusty Wallace charity ride. Brad, hope you had a great time. Looks like you did, according to all your social media. Now it's time for this.
One last thing.
And leading us on our One Last Thing parade is going to be Andrew Kerwin.
Yeah, Kyle Larson finally completed the double, and he won one of the races. It's not Charlotte and Indy, but rather Richmond and the Knoxville Nationals. They were keeping Kyle informed on how much rain there was going on in Knoxville. Kyle didn't think he was going to be able to run the race. As soon as he got out of his Cup car, which he had a great run on Saturday night, he caught a plane to Knoxville and won the thing. Pretty cool to see that. And weather finally playing out in his favor. Finally, he's rooting for rain. It actually ends up working out for him.
Yeah, I kind of thought to myself, I said to my husband, well, now Mother Nature has, you know, paid him back for all the pain and suffering she dealt yeah. him during the Indy double attempts.
And Alexis, you were saying that there were a lot of people following along, like
yeah.
this was an actual event.
Yeah, so I went to sleep because I'm a grandma, basically, and I go to sleep as early as I can. But my husband was following along on this, like, airplane tracker. Apparently, there was, like, almost 9,000 people following.
Tracking his plane
to see if he was going to make it there in time. He made it in plenty of time. I think he got there before they even started, like, the B main. So he was there in plenty of time, and he went off and won it. And I don't know what the purse is, but it was certainly worth his time and attention.
Yeah, it was cool. Cliff Daniels was keeping him updated on the weather and the situation in Knoxville, and they were doing the same thing there. They were keeping Kyle informed on the weather, and it's just cool that Cliff understands that this is who Kyle is, and it's better to just tell him and keep him informed rather than him get distracted and worry about it, because he's just a racer through and through, and we got to celebrate that.
And it's a much better story that he had a good run at Richmond.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Top 10 finish, sixth place, I believe. Then he goes and hops on the plane and goes up to Knoxville and wins the Knoxville Nationals. That's just so much better than if he flounders and finishes 27th and then scoots out.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready for it to happen to him again in a cup race. I was waiting for trouble, Kyle Larson, but finally strung together a good race. Maybe this is the momentum shift that he needs. Even if it's in the dirt racing world, hopefully that can translate over to him in that cup car, because the winless streak grows week by week.
Congrats to Kyle Larson on a big W. In the meantime, folks, thanks a lot for listening to Fast Talk. Keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.